Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Whether you're listening on FM throughout Southern California, online at kpecc.org, or via the KPECC smartphone app. Coming up later this hour, Janet Napolitano, the president of the University of California, with us. She has just a couple of weeks or so to go in her tenure as the president of UC. We're going to talk with her about her experience in this challenging time of COVID-19 and how it compares to being governor, as she was, of Arizona, and also being head of a major federal department, as she was, with Homeland Security, before taking over the top position with UC. But we begin with the very latest on COVID-19. Yesterday, Governor Newsom announcing that for most of the state, counties that cover 80% of California's population, indoor businesses and activities are being closed. That includes inside dining, bars, gymnasiums, indoor church services, hair and nail salons, all being closed. This because of the increase in the number of COVID-19 cases, as well as increasing numbers of hospitalizations in some parts of California. As you likely heard, the second largest school district in the country, LA Unified, announcing yesterday it will not return to campus for the fall semester. The Orange County Board of Education has said that it is allowing its local districts in Orange County to return to on-campus education and is not requiring physical distancing or masking for students who return to Orange County campuses. That will be left up to the decision-making of school boards for the various districts in Orange County. But I'd like to hear your thoughts about the governor ratcheting back on businesses and indoor activities in the state. Do you think it's justified given what we're seeing, the increases in COVID-19? And to what degree do you think Californians will adhere to these new policies? Now, it's tough to operate a restaurant indoors or a bar indoors underground, but certainly plenty of haircuts and hairstyling was taking place on the down low before we had the opening of salons. So my question is, do you think that this is going to be adhered to? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is health policy researcher and associate professor of medicine at UCLA, Dr. Joseph Latipo. Dr. Latipo, thank you for being with us. You've written at least a couple of pieces that I've read that have been critical of the ways public health has messaged about COVID-19. Let me ask you first about the governor's decision yesterday. Do you think it's supportable given the data on COVID-19?
Well, good morning, Larry, and thank you for having me on. I'm really happy to be speaking with you and your listeners today. And I just have to say that, you know, I'm speaking for myself and not on behalf of UCLA.
All right.
That's something I've been asked to say. And yeah, so you know, obviously, really critical, important issues that we're dealing with now this decision to close things up, or to start doing that, to go down that path, which is really what we're doing is sort of kind of starting to replay March in terms of the policy responses. So, you know, I think that this is such a challenging issue. It's been a really challenging issue for a lot of people, leaders and just regular people, because it's complicated between the health pieces, the policy pieces, the fear, the uncertainty. It's made it difficult, I think, for many people to be able to see clearly and straight. So the governor is in a very challenging position, and he's in a very challenging position because of how the COVID-19 response, or how we view it, has evolved over the last few months. So if you turn back the clock, you'll remember back in March, the goal that was shared and voiced was to flatten the curve. And there was a concern about hospitals being overloaded.
And that was really the rationale that we heard most frequently was that there is going to be a significant death toll from COVID-19, but that the critical issue is hospitals not be so overwhelmed that people who could be treated would go untreated.
You're absolutely right. And it's remarkable. So many things are happening that people aren't even recognizing that the narrative and the objectives are changing. They're sort of just kind of almost sleepwalking into it. So now we're at a point, we hear about the hospitals, and that's a separate issue, right? Like, please don't tell me that and expect me to believe that hospitals are just in California running out of capacity after a few weeks of opening after we've known for months that we needed more capacity. Like, that is clearly not a full picture of what's happening. So what has happened is that the narrative, the mission goal has changed. And now we're in a place that is basically impossible to get out of without causing a lot of damage. The place we're at now, Larry, is a place where COVID-19 cases themselves, just the fact that you have cases, have taken on almost like a moral value. Like, if you have cases, there's something wrong. You're doing something wrong. Your state is doing something wrong. And it is impossible to go to take this on as a strategy without creating just tremendous harm. Because we're in a pandemic. There will be cases. You can't, it's not possible to stop the cases. So if you're responding to increases in cases, which a lot of governors in different parts of the country are doing, because cases have taken off up this really almost this moral value, like there's something wrong with you because you have cases, we're in a place where you're stuck. You know, you can't stop cases in a pandemic, you know, and if you try, which is what the governor is starting to try to do again, if you try with shutdowns, it locks you into this zero-sum game, because whatever cases, new cases you prevent, and by the way, even during the lockdown, we had plenty of cases, right? I mean, we locked everything down. There was so much fear. People were staying home, and we still had cases, okay? So there's no walking away from the cases. They're going to happen. But we're starting these lockdowns again. You're trading, you know, some decrease in cases for other really important things, like people's livelihoods, you know, people who built businesses, restaurants, gyms, other things. And you're taking away their, you know, you're taking away their, you know, their future, their ability to have a livelihood, their ability to, you know, to do things that are meaningful for them.
And hold that thought, an important point you're raising, but I just want to reintroduce to Air Talk listeners. We're talking with UCLA health policy researcher and associate professor of medicine, Dr. Joseph Latipo. We're talking with him about where we are now in California, with Governor Newsom yesterday announcing additional restrictions and closures for most of the state, including pretty much all Southern California counties, of indoor dining, of bars, of gyms, of hair salons, barbershops, and houses of worship. My question for you is, do you support what the governor's doing? Do you think that it is important to try and get a handle on the increasing number of COVID-19 cases, that we're taking this step? Or do you think that it's going to lead to wide-scale flouting of the law, or that it's just not going to be effective in protecting lives? 866-893-KPCC. Dr. Latipo, you're bringing up very important issues about the economic impacts of lockdowns and about the negative health consequences, because it's not as though you don't have psychological and even physical health complications if people feel they can't see physicians, if they're not able to get out and have a life that's more rounded. But the other side of that is, with this increase in the number of cases, we are also seeing an increase in fatalities. So wouldn't it figure that even with the negatives that are borne by the lockdown and the effects on people's lives, that you would be able to cut the death rate and to buy time until we have a vaccine, hopefully early next year, if we're fortunate and record-setting time is accomplished here. Is that not a value in and of itself?
It's, you know, and it makes sense, Larry. It looks like, you know, what you're saying, why would it not make sense? You know, that just seems, it seems very, it seems very, very reasonable. The problem is that it's just, it's not a sensible way to run a society. The reason is because you've got the consequences of the lockdowns. In a way, you're essentially trading some, you know, you're trading, for example, even right now, we're trading kind of our concerns about increases in COVID cases for undoubtedly the well-being and welfare of children. Like this is the
you're talking about schools opening campuses,
right, and particularly for small children, right, who need social interaction, schools are critical for their development. So you're with a pandemic. There's no free pass, and we're in a place where we've elevated COVID cases to be so much more valuable and COVID deaths to be much more valuable than just about everything else, that everything else is suffering. And some of those other things are incredibly valuable. The other reason it's not a particularly, you know, it sounds good, but it's just the other reason why it's not a particularly sensible way to run a society. And I don't mean that in any, you know, cruel or pejorative way. I just mean from a very practical perspective. You know, so what does it mean? Like, if you think it's sensible, then it's something you'd repeat in the future. A year from now, if there's another pandemic, another virus, would you repeat it again? You can't keep doing that. You know, you'll be in a place where you're basically gradually sort of pulling apart the pieces that create a society, that create stability, that create, you know, sort of happiness.
Well, and let me ask you though about the school part of this, because Dr. Latipo, my sense is that schools keeping their campuses closed isn't so much driven by concern about kids exposing each other. It's about the members of the faculty and the staff of the school, which I think it's safe to say a relatively high percentage of those adults are in either age or health categories that put them at risk. So the issue is less about if kids get it. It's about if it ends up being spread via kids to those that work at schools. Is that not a significant concern?
Of course. That is definitely a very valid and important concern. Larry, one of the problems with COVID is that, you know, I want to just take a step back from that. The question you've laid out is that we've so often entered this realm of essentially, you know, kind of two-option thinking, right? So cases are increasing, so that means we have to shut these things down. You know, so it misses two important things. The first thing is that there don't have to be two options. Like if we decide to not lock down, we can think about other ways to solve the same problems. And that's the same thing goes for schools.
And so what would the way be? Because I think part of what has to be factoring into Governor Newsom's decision making is he looks at Arizona, obviously a much smaller state, but with a big city, Phoenix, which has been heavily hit by COVID, and hospitals that have reached, in some cases, capacity, and ICUs that have approached or reached capacity. So his concern has to be that hasn't happened yet in California, but with this rising number of cases, that is a realistic possibility. So what would be a way of dealing with that legitimate concern without closing down indoor businesses and activities?
Sure. Yeah, no, a great question. So I would say that that's exactly the question to be asking. You know, so how can we allow support people in their livelihoods, you know, in their relationships, the things that make life meaningful and not miserable while still managing the pandemic? And that is basically the answer to this pandemic and for future pandemics in terms of a sustainable answer, right? Like if we get pandemics every 2 years, we obviously could not do this. Even the supporters of these policies would probably realize that it's not a sustainable strategy. So what other things can we do? So one thing is that, you know, we can do what we said we were going to do back in March, which is increase capacity. And it's worth it. Now, to imagine that if we can increase capacity and give ourselves more flexibility for people to do those things that are so important to make that make life worthwhile and valuable, that's a good trade-off. And so increasing capacity is one thing. Another thing is thinking more creatively about what else we can do to reduce the thing that's most important, not cases, but deaths. So thinking about what else can we do for people who are at increased risk? What else can we do to protect people who are older and have comorbidities? We're not hearing a lot of that. We're not hearing a lot of that because we're spending energy focused on deaths, you know, sort of focused on the political infighting and those kinds of things. And what else can we do to increase the supply of medications? We already have at least two medications that we know are effective at reducing the morbidity associated with COVID-19. And Larry, we are rationing those medications. That is basically crazy, Larry. Like, why, you know, we, in a country as productive, as energetic as this country, why can't we solve the problem of having adequate supply so no patient is denied medications that are effective? These are the questions that we need to ask along the lines of what you just said, Larry, instead of these fights over what businesses get to live, which ones have to die, who has to suffer, just so that California can keep its case counts down and politicians can look good. And I hate to say, but that is a component. I don't hate to say it, actually. I hate that it's true. That is a component of this, is the appearance of doing a good job. Because if it were about the COVID-19 deaths, the real thing that we care about, we would be asking different questions and making different decisions.
Dr. Latipo, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you, health policy researcher, associate professor of medicine at UCLA, Dr. Joseph A. Latipo. He wanted to make certain, as understood, he's not speaking on behalf of UCLA. Coming up, UC Irvine School of Medicine professor and epidemiological specialist, infection prevention specialist, Dr. Shruti Gohill. Interested to hear what she has to say about Dr. Latipo's analysis. We'll hear from her in just 1 minute. Air Talk on KPCC.